This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program. Okay, this is Bill Claus, and welcome to Arts Radioactive Magazine. I'm your host for this evening, and we've got some great guests here today. First off, we're going to be talking with Greg Patterson, who's the owner of the Uptown Arts Bar and is active out in the community and producing arts in the community. We're going to talk about that, and then later on, we're going to hear from Elizabeth Anderson talking about the Out Here Now Kansas City LGBT Film Festival. So, first of all, Greg Patterson and I go back many years. I remember Greg from maybe the mid-70s when I was involved with The Fool Killer.
I was about 8 years old at the time.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, I know. You're just a young man like I am,
influenced
too.
By your left-wing politics back at an early age, yeah.
You were with a group, I think it was called Westport Tomorrow at the time. But anyway, you've been active in Midtown for a long time as far as being a realtor, a broker, and an owner, and getting things done. I'll just put it that way.
Sure. We've been trying, and things are going pretty well these days.
Good, good, good. Yeah, and the Uptown Arts Bar, which, of course, is across the street from, the Uptown Theater. But we're here to talk about a couple of things. There's a launch coming up of a new initiative called the Uptown Arts District, and I believe that's going to be on July 11th. So what the heck's that all about, Greg?
Well, what some of us have decided is that we would like to sort of bring that area around, basically from Armour to 39th Street, centered by that sort of the Uptown Theater and that sort of plaza that's in front of it and around it, and to get the arts venues, the entertainment venues, the restaurant and dining venues, and other places like Gomer's together and to brand it or market it as the Uptown Arts District. In particular, to try to promote performing arts, and by that, not just in the entertainment venues, which is wonderful, but also on the street, so that you end up with, like we will have at the launch of the Uptown Arts District, July 7th, you'll be there and be able to eat Ethiopian food or a pizza while you're listening to the Zanzibar drummers playing drums on the street. So, you know, hopefully as this develops and you're driving down Broadway going home and you're tired and it's Friday afternoon, you'll stop at the light at Valentine Road and there'll be a stilt walker. You know, hopefully Myra Roach will be there. She was down at the Busker Fest at the River Market last Sunday, or the City Market. And there will be buskers a lot. And not just for one weekend or one day, but somewhat programmed, but at times, which might include something like the Hospital Hill Run, when 10,000 runners have reached the highest point, which is 37th and Broadway, and are within a mile or so of the destination at Crown Center that ends the race, and they have people cheering them on, and they have musicians and clowns and mimes and drummers and so forth. So it's to help promote that area. The people right now, we're an ad hoc kind of group, or include the Larry Sells and the owners of Uptown Theater, Jeff Edmondson and the owners of Hamburger Mary's and the Industry Video Bar, but also they're getting ready to open a new venue called Woody's in the old Kenny's Newsroom, for those of us who go back a ways. And that's going to be a sports bar that's opening around the 1st of July. So all of us are kind of the instigators working with other businesses in the area to do this, and we're all just putting some of our own money in, working closely with the Pitch and Midtown Post, and hopefully with KKFI as this goes forward.
Well, so the event itself, the launch, like we said, is July the 11th from 10 to 6 at the Valentine Shopping Center area there.
It's now called Uptown Shops.
Yeah, no, first describe what's going to go on that day, and then how are you going to take that and kick it on? No, I don't know what the right word is. Schedule it on down the road to start building up the district. Well, what's the dynamics of that look like?
Well, that day we're billing as the Uptown Arts District Art and Craft Garage Sale. So what we're doing right now is we're putting out a call to all artists. Hopefully, we're not looking for the swap and shop and flea market type of booth. We're going to make a booth available inside the old Safeway grocery store or Apple grocery store, air conditioned, handicapped accessible, bathrooms, which is going to have booths that you can rent. If you're from the neighborhood, $25. If you're not, $50. And then you can sell your art. And we'll have an ad hoc jury. We'll be pretty liberal about who gets in or not. But like I said, it's not a flea market. And then we're going to have craft, but not crafts, but craft beer and food trucks. And then some of the businesses around, like Ifo Tower, Hamburger Mary's, you know, Misab, which is a new Ethiopian restaurant that's getting ready to open, will have food there. So you'll 10 to 6, you'll be able to see some performances, buy some art, sell some art, taste a craft beer, and that ends about 6. And then that night, the Uptown Arts Bar across the street is having a pre-Fringe Festival kickoff. And Mary Magdalene, not the one we know from Christian, from the Bible, but rather...
Well, now how do you know?
It's a different one. She's from Olathe. So Mary Magdalene, who's a fabulous burlesque producer, is doing a pre-Fringe show that night, which will include a lot of small vignettes of a lot of the people that will be in the Fringe Festival, which starts July 16th.
It does indeed, yep. Yes.
So July 16th to the 26th is that magnificent growing Fringe Festival and so forth. And we, in fact, the Uptown Arts Bar, more than anything else, have been influenced by the Fringe Festival, by its philosophy, and also basically employing artists from the Fringe Festival who may not have a venue to perform in because the venue owners don't think they can make money doing whatever it is these people do. And so we're very committed to original work, unjuried, uncensored, as the Fringe Festival is.
Absolutely. And I did not plan on doing this, but you brought up the Fringe Festival, and I am in a mode when I cannot ignore the fact that my wife and I are putting together a show for the Fringe that we're going to do as a fundraiser for KKFI. It's going to be at the Off Center Theater, which is now called the Musical Theater Heritage Theater, in Crown Center. During the Fringe Festival, we're going to have 6 performances, the first one on July 18th. All the funds go to KKFI, so I'm perfectly legitimate. It's called The Baby Boom Generation, The Greatest Story Overtold, from sex, drugs, and rock and roll to Viagra to pins, and we can't remember the rest.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry for that commercial.
So that night from 8 to 10 is the pre-Fringe show, and we had Burlesque on the Rocks, Brother John doing some, oh my God, now I can't think of it, drew a blank, the soul singer, the best of all time. Anyway, we'll think of it in a minute. Paul Messner is going to do some puppetry that night. Aaron Branch, some comedy, Beth Bird and the Flock, some clowning, and then we'll have 10,000 Arabian Nights doing belly dance, and that's just a little bit of what's
going
to happen.
So that's going on July the 11th. So you don't see that as a one-time event. Well, it is a one-time event.
It's a kickoff,
and then so what's going to happen after that this an ongoing
event? Well, the next event is going to be, for several years, the Uptown Theater owners, led by Larry Sells, have done Green Fest. And so that happens August 22nd, and that also is a free public event, which basically is about taking care of our world and focuses not just on climate change, but because of the importance of that in particular on that. And the Sierra Club's going to be involved in that a little more than they would have been involved before, along with all sorts of other arts and arts organizations, environmental organizations, businesses that sell products and services related to the green movement. And that will be kind of the second thing. So that sort of morphs into, there's several things. On August 14th, we're doing Valentine's Day in August. So those of you who are calendar oriented, you will remember that we have Christmas in July, so we've created this new event, which is Valentine's Day in August on the 14th, which is a Friday, so it'll be kind of a TGIF thing, and there'll be some surprises. That isn't exactly set, but of course it celebrates that our west boundary, the west side of Broadway, is the historic Valentine Neighborhood Association. And we hope that Barclay Martin can find, if he's listening today, can find a little bit of time. He lives in Valentine to show up. That'd be my dream come true, but
okay. I'm going to move on to the other thing I know we wanted to talk about, and that's the launch of the No Hold Barred events at Uptown Arts Bar. Give us a flavor of what that's all about. I think that's more attuned than Radio
to what Radio, and that's why we're here. And I appreciate all you've done in so many ways for so many years with the people who not only started this radio station but have been so involved in progressive issues. And so ever since I started this in Arts Bar and before that, I wanted to sort of have some sort of format to lead action or cause there to be action on progressive issues. And that's just something philosophically that I'm about. I recently made the acquaintance of Dr. Tex Sample, who's a retired United Methodist professor from St. Paul's School of Theology, and he did this thing for about 6 months called No Holds Barred Theological Discussions, which were wonderful, but I get impatient with people sitting around in circles and talking too much, especially when they're theologians or people who don't like theologians. So I thought, why don't we do that, No Holds Barred, which he created that name, and let's make it more about action. So it's called, the series will be called No Holds Barred, Art, Dialogue, and Action on Important Issues. And hopefully we'll have ultimately maybe four issues, but the two we've decided to start with are climate change in partnership with the Sierra Club, and then secondly, with the Alzheimer's Association, we have joined with and formed what we call the Music and Memory Task Force of the Heart of America Alzheimer's Association, and so we're going to be talking about that in various ways. Hopefully, be a place where people can get together who want to make a difference about that issue or those two issues, and then we're going to do some structured things along the lines of what's called World Cafe, where you have structured dialogue ultimately that gets people together who may have different viewpoints or different experiences or different skills to talk about things, but then leading to, we hope, action. And then supporting groups like the Sierra Club. You know, they're going to have several initiatives on the Missouri ballot next year, so we'll be looking at that. The first event in that will be September 3rd, which is a Thursday night, and this is a benefit for the Heart of America Alzheimer's Association Music and Memory Program. Our featured performer will be Sarah Morgan, and we'll also have Beth Bird, the comedian from Kansas City returning for this event, Magasha Jackson, who's actually kind of beginning to make it in L.A., and then we hope to have one other really well-known local group. I hesitate to say their name because they're committed if they're in town, but we're hoping Victor and Penny are. We're hoping they're in town. So that's September 3rd. And again, what we're trying to do is get in the hands of caregivers, family members, and iPods, preferably iPod shuffles with chargers and earphones for people who have Alzheimer's, because of the amazing difference that music has therapeutically for people that have Alzheimer's. On August 29th, Knuckleheads is going to have a benefit. The same group I'm working with is doing that. And then in December on the 5th, we're having another benefit, which is kind of like a giant Mitch Miller sing-along by the community down at Unity on the Plaza. So that's a real organized, active group. The Arts Bar is a part of that in a small way. Will be a site where you can drop off iPods and, you know, we'll collect new and used ones and get them to the Alzheimer's Association. The Sierra Club thing is a little less definite, but the Green Fest on August 22nd kind of kicks that off.
Well, I was warned when we started this that 15 minutes would not be nearly enough time to cover all these subjects, but we did pretty well in this.
Yeah,
well, we
do have to move on to the next thing.
I want to thank Greg for coming in. I want to appreciate all the work he's doing out there in the community to promote the arts, and I'm just making this up as we go. I'm thinking some of those forums you're talking about having something maybe we could record and maybe rebroadcast it during some of the KKFI shows, so we'll talk about that as time goes on. And if Elizabeth, if you're out there listening, I'm going to have Greg run out and shoo you into the studio
and don't forget, we did this call to action. So if you're an artist or you want to be an activist, particularly around those two issues, or if you want to sell your art on July 11th, get in touch with me at the Uptown Arts Bar. Thanks.
Okay, and I want to thank Greg for coming in. And next up, we're going to have Elizabeth Anderson coming in here, and we're going to be talking about the Out Here Now Kansas City LGBT Film Festival, which the dates of that are June the 25th through July the 2nd. And my guest, Elizabeth Anderson, has been on the production team and has worked with the Out Here Now Kansas City LGBT Film Festival for, I guess, you said about 15 years. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is very exciting. So tell us why it's exciting and tell us what it's all about.
Well, it's 8 days of very diverse films, and Jamie Rich has been the director since it began in 2001. And it used to be that 35mm prints would stop between San Francisco and New York or L.A. and Philadelphia, and we would grab them here in the heartland. And so many films back then were about a coming out story. Oh my gosh, someone is LGBT. Or it was girl meets girl, boy meets boy. And what's exciting for us now is the genres are completely reflected in the film choices. We have a transgender romantic comedy. We have a documentary on out athletes, Martina Navratilova, Brittany Griner. We also have S&M comedy. S&M Sally, and that director will be in town. Michelle Aylin is the director's showcase. We have a scary horror film where people will laugh. So it's all kinds of movies now, not just one particular storyline.
Well, how did you get involved with this to begin with? You say you've been doing it about 15 years, is that how long the festival itself has been going on?
16 years.
Give me a date on that.
2001.
Okay.
And I had gone to the festivals and movies before this particular LGBT film festival, and had seen LGBT films. And then when Jamie started this at the Tivoli with Jerry Harrington, I started attending, and I would stop at the table in the lobby and talk to Jamie, and I just got caught up in it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show my own ignorance here, but you know, I was mentioning before we come on that the way I was going to frame this for me, you know, is I was born into a world. I've noticed how roles have changed over the years for people of color, especially African Americans. You know, I was born into a world of Step and Fetch It and Amos and Andy, and you know, a little bit later on, I noticed that every time there was a Hollywood movie and there was a black actor in there, the movie was necessarily about race. You know, so black people always played the Negro character, you know, if you will. You know, it's like they almost had to be there representing their race rather than being a real human being. And then, you know, then you can talk about the blaxploitation films later on and the fact that black people were mostly drug dealers there for a while. But, you know, things have really improved. But for me, I'm not really aware of the LGBT films. It shows my ignorance because, you know, it's been around 15 years. How much before 2001 were gay people in films much, or gay and lesbian folk?
If you go far enough back, it was a code. There's a film called Celluloid Closet, and of course Rock Hudson is well known, and people in the know would look for certain dialogue, certain mannerisms, a very effeminate man, a very butch woman, and then they would read into the film. And of course that doesn't have to happen today. An example of a film that I found very powerful in this year's festival is a documentary called Out in the Night. And it's about young butch lesbians who get caught up in the prison system, and they're accused of things. And it is just harrowing and gripping and just a beautiful, beautiful film. But that's a story that didn't get told, you know, young lesbians of color, you know, who are pretty tough, and it's their story, and it actually made me cry.
Well, what happened in 2001 to cause this film festival to come into being? Do you know?
Well, Jamie says that Jerry Harrington of the Tivoli had been LGBT films and festivals, and he wanted it resurrected, and Jamie is has seen so many films and knows so much about film, and it was just a natural for Jamie to do it. He had done events at Unity Temple and elsewhere.
Have you noticed any, have you, and you've touched on a little bit here, but having watched the genre for pretty closely for 15 years, what have you noticed? Have things changed dramatically, or they just evolved, or
they
way you kind of characterize that? Yeah,
they have. For instance, as I said, for lesbian films, I'll speak because I screen a lot of those. Jamie and I used to joke that the lesbians would turn out to be best friends, not lovers, or somebody would die, or there would just be the unhappiest ending. Maybe someone would be institutionalized.
And there was always a deep, dark secret.
Yeah, deep, dark secret, and moody music, and that's just not true anymore. For instance, S&M Sally, Michelle Ahlen is coming in from the West Coast. She's the director, actor. She's very funny. We showed her Heterosexual Jill last year. And S&M Sally is about the S&M scene and relationships, but it's a comedy. Uh-huh. It's funny. And I can't imagine that being done really 20 years ago. I don't know if audiences right. were ready for it or would get it.
Yeah. So obviously you're screening movies here. Is there, what's the format? I mean, you're talking about bringing people in. So are there panel discussions? Is there somebody up there standing talking about the movie after it's over, or what goes on?
Well, certain nights are hosted. For instance, when Michelle comes in, that will be Like Me Lighthouse comedy night. But a very important one is the Human Rights Commission of Kansas City has been very supportive of the festival. And every year we do a celebration of courage. And the award winner this year is Out to Win, about LGBT athletes and how things have changed in sports.
Okay. So is the film festival, who all, you've mentioned Jamie and Jerry and yourself, are there any organizations that have been involved with this, or I guess Like Me Lighthouse is at least supporting it, I guess, or what?
We do.
What's the relationship? How does the community get involved with
well,
this?
Well, the Kansas City Rights Commission is one. PROMO has, which is the equality organization in Missouri, has hosted films. I know in the past, Equality, a group of queer youth, has hosted films. Passages has been involved. PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. So a number of organizations.
Yeah, well that's
we've had churches.
That's a good list. Absolutely, absolutely. Do the films tend to give a pretty broad demographic as far as age and race and socioeconomic or what have you?
I'm glad you asked that, Bill. I have an answer. There are so many different films represented. One, the transgender romantic comedy I mentioned, Two for One, is a Canadian film. And there aren't that many transgender romantic comedies. We haven't shown one before. It's very exciting.
Well, have you seen this particular film yet? Or do you know of it?
I have seen the clip, and I know of it.
Okay,
I actually, all right. There was a rave review in the local paper in Victoria, British Columbia,
okay.
And I was up visiting my parents, and I saw that.
Yeah, I guess it kind of niggles me to kind of imagine. I mean, there's lots of ways you could go with that, including, you know, very cruel and destructive ways, but I assume that's not what this is about.
Oh,
this,
no.
This is okay.
It's delightful. There's also a little micro-budget Marvel from Mexico called Velociraptor, the Last Day on Earth. There's also They're Killing Me, the one I had mentioned. It's an intriguing mix of horror, camp, and romantic comedy. You don't get horror and romance. In other words, as someone's friends are being killed off, if the serial murderer is really, really cute, do you notice that people are disappearing?
So the Kansas City LGBT Film the Out Here Now, Kansas City LGBT Film Festival, June 25th through July 2nd. Is there a website somewhere where they can?
There is. It is.
I'm shocked to find that out.
www.outherenow.com. And it's Out Here Now, H-E-A-R, because we want people to come out, be challenged, be entertained, be here. And by be out, I mean be who they are. It's a time when you can be yourself and watch movies with others who are like you. And that includes straight allies.
Right. Well, I appreciate all the work you've done towards this. And what question should I ask you that I haven't thought of here? We've got a couple more minutes we need to cover, and I haven't thought of a new question to ask.
So. Well, one thing I always enjoy is before the movie, people gather in the lobby of the Tivoli Inn. It's like a party of friends you see, you know, at the movies. Uh-huh. And they'll be talking about movies that they've seen or they plan to see, and not necessarily in the film festival, just generally. And it's so much fun to just mingle with an LGBTQIA audience and talk movies.
Yeah.
And you can do that at any movie theater, anywhere. But this is a special time of year.
And you may have, if you said this, I'm sorry I didn't hear it, but are any of these locally produced movies?
Lisa Marie Evans is a local director, and in fact, she did a film starring KKFI's own Mark Manning, KKFI's own Philip Hooser, and David Wayne Reed.
Okay, and if I were going to pick three people at random to be in movies, that would have. Yeah.
And we showed that a few years ago, and she is involved with this film festival. She was on the West Coast and has moved back, and so Lisa Marie Evans has been an important part of the festival.
Well, and I know that Elizabeth Anderson has been an important part of this as well. So thank you for your work on this, and thank you for coming in to being part of the Radioactive Magazine this week. And it sounds like a great time. And so give that website one more time.
It is www.outherenow.com.
That's H-E-R-E, not to be confused with the Here Now Audio Festival that's been going on the last several days in Kansas City.
Right.
It's spelled H-E-A-R, so it's H-E-R-E. Anyway, thank you very much. All right, next week on Radioactive Magazine, Craig is going to have Cheryl Kimmy come in, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming Fringe Festival, which goes from July 16th, I believe, through July 28th, and this will be the 11th year of the Kansas City Fringe Festival. I want to thank my good friend Mike Nichols for coming in and engineering, and I want to thank Greg Patterson again for coming in and talking about the events going on there. And again, Elizabeth, it's always great to talk to you, either on air or just face to face.
It's a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you so much. Any announcements you can think of, Michael, we need to give before we go off the air here? Okay, well, we appreciate you tuning in to Radioactive Magazine. That's 6 o'clock every Tuesday, and always got a surprise for you on Radioactive Magazine. So thanks for tuning in. You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a locally produced broadcast spotlighting social and political activists in our community. If you'd like more information or like to comment on this program, call Bill Claus at 816-994-7869.